Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is another update on the situation in Turkey. I've just seen some inflation forecasts come out for the month of February, so I wanted to provide you with an update on those. And also, I wanted to touch on the potential impacts on Turkey of the Russian-Ukraine conflict, because we've already seen some movements in the lira value, and we've seen movements in the price of natural gas and oil. And there are also some other factors such as agricultural products that are exported into Turkey from both Russia and Ukraine, and also the fact that tourism from both of those countries is a massive part of the Turkish economy. So I wanted to run through all of those issues and have a look at what the potential impact of this war could be on Turkey for 2022. If you follow the channel, you'll know that Turkey is in quite a precarious situation right now anyway. And I think these are all negative factors. This is going to make the situation worse for Turkey. There's definitely no upside here. It's all downside. So we'll go through all of that in a minute. But before we do that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content. And also, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in my videos. So if there's a particular section or topic that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. So as you'll know, if you follow the channel, we always try to stay ahead of the game. We're always trying to look for information and data that tells us what might be happening next week or the week after. So the official inflation figures for February won't be released by Turkey until the 3rd of March. But we've seen a poll from Reuters that shows what all of the leading economists and what people on the ground in Turkey see as the current rate of inflation for February. And the expectation from all of those forecasts is that inflation is now above 50% in February. So we're expecting the figure to come in around about 53% for the 12 months to February 2022. So that's the first time that inflation has gone above 50% for more than 20 years in Turkey. Now, we'd seen a record level in January at 48%, and this shows the continued pressure on prices that we're seeing. And the main drivers for those increases are energy prices, because Turkey is a net importer of energy. It imports a lot of natural gas for the production of electricity and also for use by households for heating and cooking, but it also imports oil and coal and other forms of energy. And it's also importing a lot of food products. So the prices of those goods have been rising dramatically, but we're also seeing a rise in commodity prices. And Turkey imports a lot of commodities, which it then processes and manufactures and then uses those finished goods as exports. So as commodity prices go up, it drives what's known as the producer price index. So this is the cost that all of the producers in Turkey are paying for the raw materials and goods that they are working before they produce their finished articles. And in January, the producer price index was around about 94% inflation year on year. And we're expecting to see the producer price index go up even higher in February. So we know that inflation is high all around the world, but I thought this chart that's been produced by Reuters is a really interesting comparison of how Turkey are doing compared to the other emerging countries around the world. So you can see that Turkey is the outlier amongst all of the emerging economies. And we've got a really big basket of various countries around the world here. So just running through a brief selection of them, we've got China, India, Malaysia, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Romania, Russia, South Africa, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, Peru, just to name a few of them. And you can see that the vast majority of all of these countries are all seeing relatively high levels of inflation, but most of them are less than 10%. And this graph shows the period from January 2020 on the far left, right through to the forecast at the end of 2023. So this is covering a four-year period. And the expectation is that 12-month rolling inflation figures for all of the emerging economies apart from Turkey will be at or around 10% or less. Now you can see the Turkey graph is off the scale. So we saw in September, October, that inflation started to take off. And this was at a time when Turkey decided to start reducing its interest rates, even though its inflation levels were at a very high point. And that had a counterproductive impact and has forced inflation through the ceiling. And you can see here that we're now charting that in February, we are going to break the 50% level for inflation. And it's estimated that it will stay at that level throughout the whole of 2022. So we're expecting to see inflation above 50% until we get to January 2023. And then there is expected to be a very sharp decline. And we're coming out at around about 20% at the end of the first quarter in 2023. And the forecast is that by the end of 2023, we will be looking at somewhere in the region of 15% inflation, which is still a very high level, but nowhere near the 50% that we are at right now. Now, the big question here on this graph is, will the big downward trend at the start of 2023 actually happen? That's the big question. If it doesn't, if Turkey stays at above 50%, then that is a serious, serious problem for Turkey. And we are right in the heart of that serious problem right now. So as you'll know, if you follow the channel, the Turkish lira has been under immense pressure over the last 12 months or so. And when the government decided to implement its policy of reducing interest rates, that had a hugely detrimental effect on the value of the lira. And we saw a run on the currency and the value plummeted to an all-time low of around about 16.7 lira to $1 in December 2021. Now, the Turkish Central Bank spent around $10.5 billion in December supporting lira in the international currency markets, and they've managed to bring the rate back down to around about 13.5 lira to the dollar. And it's been sitting at that level roughly for the whole of January. Now, the Central Bank of Turkey are denying that they are still supporting the currency, but the market data that we've seen estimates that around about $1 to $4 billion are being used to continue to support the lira to maintain the current levels. When news of the Russian invasion of Ukraine was announced across all of the markets, the value of the Turkish lira plummeted, and it fell at one point to 14.62 to the dollar. Now, it's interesting to note that the fall in the value of the lira was actually greater than the fall in the value of the Russian and Ukraine currencies. So it shows that the fragility of the lira is higher than the two countries that were actually involved in the conflict. So this really gives us quite a strong indication that the value is being supported by the Turkish Central Bank and that they just couldn't control the movement at the point when this conflict was announced. So the value of the lira fell by 5% at its worst point on Thursday, the 24th of February, but was back down below 14 to the dollar by the end of the day, which we believe was down to support in the currency markets from the Turkish Central Bank. When the markets opened on Friday, the 25th of February, the lira again fell in value and at one point was trading at 14.07 to the dollar. It's now back down below 14, but the expectation in the market is that this is purely being driven by purchases in the open market by the Turkish Central Bank. You'll know if you follow the channel that Turkey is a net importer of energy, and one of the biggest forms of energy that it imports is natural gas. And it is provided with natural gas directly by Russia. There are three pipelines that have been laid from Russia directly into Turkey. Now, this natural gas is used for a variety of reasons. One of the biggest uses is for the power stations. So Turkey actually uses natural gas to create electricity for all of the country. And it also supplies natural gas directly to both industry, which uses it in its industrial processes, and also to its households for heating and cooking. And last year, 45% of all of the natural gas that was purchased by Turkey came directly from Russia. And this has been causing major problems for Turkey because they don't have enough foreign currency reserves. And because the gas industry is nationalized in Turkey, They have to support the purchases of that gas. And in December, we know that $3.5 billion was used by the Turkish authorities to purchase gas to keep the power stations open and to keep all of the households and industry supplied. And in January, the government was struggling to keep the supply of natural gas at the required level. And we saw some blackouts occurring in various places around Turkey, including some of the industrial zones where all of the businesses are located. So natural gas is absolutely critical to the success of Turkey as a country, because their economy relies heavily upon its export industry. And all that industry relies upon buying in goods and commodities, producing and manufacturing those goods, and then exporting them. So if there is a loss of natural gas, that will mean that there's not enough electricity, and therefore industry can't keep working, and that's going to hurt the economy in the long term. So let's have a look at the impact of the Russian-Ukraine conflict on the supply of natural gas to Turkey. The first and most obvious issue is the price of natural gas. So when news of the conflict broke on Thursday, the 24th of February, the price of natural gas spiked. You can see on this chart that it rose to over 134 euros per megawatt hour. The price has actually come down a little, and that's in response to all of the sanctions that have been announced by the majority of countries around the world against Russia. So the belief is that these sanctions will encourage Russia to stop this conflict, to withdraw from Ukraine, and that we will go back to a normalized market. If that doesn't happen, then we may well see the price of this natural gas going up again. And also, what we haven't factored in to any of these equations is that although there are a lot of sanctions in place from all of the countries, last time that sanctions were imposed against Russia, Russia then came out and announced a variety of counter sanctions. So there is a possibility that Russia could restrict the amount of natural gas that it supplies, which would have the natural impact of driving up prices, which would be to Russia's benefit because they are the major supplier of natural gas to Europe. They provide around about 40% of all of the natural gas that's used in Europe. So there's a manipulation factor that Russia is in control of here that could lead to a rise in prices. So one of the big risks for Turkey is the price of natural gas. They have to buy it in. They have no other choice. Their power stations are all geared up for using natural gas. The only realistic place that they're getting it from in the short term is from Russia. So if the prices go up, then it will cost Turkey more, and it all costs foreign currency. And they don't have very much foreign currency right now. So that is a major risk for Turkey. One of the other risks is the actual supply of gas. So this graphic shows the major pipelines that Gazprom, which is the Russian gas company, has all across Europe. And you can see that there are three direct pipelines into Turkey. Number 5, number 9, and number 7 on this chart. And number 5 runs directly through the Ukraine. So it starts in Russia, travels all the way across the Ukraine, and then eventually comes down into Turkey. So we don't know what's going to happen with the Ukraine-Russian conflict, but there is a possibility that that pipeline may not be operational at some point during this conflict. And it could be damaged in part of the warfare, it could be sabotaged by some of the Ukrainian people, or it could just be switched off by the Russian authorities. So there's a number of risks around the supply of gas from that particular pipeline. But obviously, there's also a risk from the other two pipelines that Russia could decide to start manipulating the supply and trying to put pressure on countries like Turkey to support it by restricting the amount of energy that it can receive. So there's a variety of factors that could influence the actual amount of gas that's being delivered into Turkey. And as soon as there is a reduction in the amount of gas, then that's going to mean that Turkey doesn't have enough gas to produce its electricity. And also it could impact on its industry directly if it doesn't have natural gas to be able to use in its processes. And also the households of Turkey may not have enough for heating and cooking. So there's a lot of really big risks in all of this for Turkey. Another big driver of inflation currently is food prices. And Turkey imports a lot of grain from Russia and Ukraine. In 2021, 56% of all Turkey's grain imports came from Russia, and that equated to $2.2 billion in value. In addition to that, Turkey also imported $861 million worth of grain from Ukraine. The two countries also supply a variety of other food substances to Turkey, so there is a real risk here from the conflict that's emerging right now, that if there is a problem with supplies, then Turkey firstly may have to pay more for these food imports, because if the market starts to reduce, if the supply is not as great as it has been in the past, then that will push prices up. And as Turkey's a net importer, that will hurt it. But also, there's a shortage factor. So it's not just the fact that prices are going up. There may well be not enough grain to go around, and that will start causing empty shelves in Turkey, as well as rising inflation. And that is the worst possible case scenario, because the people in Turkey would have less purchasing power and also less choice if there is no food available. Tourism is a really big part of the Turkish economy. In 2019, which was the last full year that was unaffected by the pandemic and COVID, Turkey had 52 million tourist visitors. And the value of those tourists to the Turkish economy was around about $41.4 billion. 7 million Russian tourists came to Turkey in 2019, and 2.1 million Ukrainians came as well. So that equates to around about 18% of all the tourists in 2019 were from Russia and Ukraine. Now, we don't know what the full year impact of this conflict is going to be, but there is a potential that it could have a damaging effect on both Russia and Ukraine. It might prevent Russians going on holiday. There might be a reduced amount of travel that's allowed. There could be more sanctions put in place. There could be restrictions. And we don't know what's going to happen to the Ukraine, whether it's going to remain as an independent country, whether it's going to be taken over by Russia, or what's going to happen. So there's a big question mark as to what's happening with both of these nations. And therefore, there's a big question mark as to what will be happening with regards to any overseas tourism coming from both of these countries. So if there was a direct impact on Turkey, that means that there would be a reduction in the amount of tourism in 2022, and that's going to mean a reduction in income, and therefore the economy of Turkey will suffer. The final thing I wanted to touch on today was nuclear power. The Turkish authorities signed an agreement back in 2010 with a Russian business called Rosatom to develop a new nuclear power station. And all of the approvals and sanctions for that were put into place last year. Development of the power station has started, and this is a $20 billion project. It's estimated that this power station, once completed, will provide 10% of all of Turkey's electricity requirements. And it's forecast to be operational in 2023. So as it stands right now, we don't know what the implications of the conflict are on the development of this power station. We don't know whether any sanctions will be applied against this particular company, but there is a possibility there could be restrictions imposed on any business that's dealing with nuclear activity. So we don't know for sure, but there is a chance here that this company could be prevented from operating outside of Russia. And just to remind you that Turkey is a member of NATO. So it has an alliance with the US, the UK, Germany, France, and the rest of the NATO countries to operate in a protective manner. So if sanctions are imposed against Russia and Russian companies that are developing nuclear power, then that would apply to Turkey and would mean that this project would not be allowed to proceed. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, there's clearly a lot of different factors that we've been talking about in this video. Inflation is now above 50% in Turkey and is likely to remain at that extremely high level for a number of months. And we're seeing continued pressure on oil prices, on energy prices, and on food prices, just to name a few. So we know that there's going to be increasing pressure. The conflict in Ukraine right now is likely to increase all of those prices. We will see a reduction in the supply of various materials, commodities and goods, and therefore prices are likely to keep going up. There is no upside benefit from this war. There is only downside in terms of the availability of goods and services and the price of those. So there's no good news for Turkey coming through right now. News of the war sent the value of the lira tumbling, and it's come back up to the same level it was at in January. But the strong belief in the market is that that is because the Turkish Central Bank is supporting the lira in the international markets. It's buying currency just to maintain that stabilized level. So that's going to cost Turkey even more in terms of foreign currency. They've been putting a lot of projects in place, like the deposit protection schemes and the offer of citizenship to foreign nationals, to try to get more foreign currency coming in. But if they're having to keep spending more and more money supporting the lira, then that's going to eradicate all of those reserves quite quickly. The other major problem that Turkey has is that it needs to keep purchasing natural gas in the international markets to keep the power stations operational. And that is costing them billions every single month as well. So there is increased pressure because as we see disruption to the supplies and nervousness in the markets, the price of natural gas is rising, the price of oil is rising. So that will put even more pressure on the Turkish authorities. So I think the bottom line from all of the factors that we've looked at in terms of the impact of this war is that all of that impact is negative. Turkey was in a very fragile position to start with. It doesn't need any more negative factors. We're going to see more pressure on the lira. We're going to see more pressure on prices. So that's going to drive inflation even higher. We may see shortages of goods. So we may see shortages of natural gas, which potentially could mean more blackouts in Turkey and more restriction of natural gas circulation. We may see some food shortages. So overall, there's a lot of really negative factors that are all pointing towards even more pressure on Turkey and the Turkish economy. So I think it's likely that we could see more of the Sukuk bonds being issued in the next 3 to 6 months because Turkey needs to find some more money from somewhere just to keep the lights on, literally. And we may see some activity from the authorities trying to gather in more foreign currency. But overall, this is not good news for Turkey. It's bad news, and it means that their foreign currency reserves are going to be running out even faster than they were already. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when I see them. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.